From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The Duluth-based 114th Transportation Unit of the Minnesota Army National Guard is heading back to Afghanistan for the second time in 3 years. The unit, which has a detachment in Chisholm, returned from its first Afghanistan deployment in June of 2010. The 114th, known as the Wolf Pack, is responsible for hauling supplies for mobile combat units. They quickly move combat-configured loads of ammunition and all classes of supply, shelters, and containers. The unit has about 150 members expected to deploy. Minnesota National Guard officials said this week that they won't formally announce the deployment until the 10th of October, but unit officials already have planned a send-off ceremony for 1 p.m. October 12th in the Chisholm High School Auditorium. The Lake Superior Zoological Society announced Tuesday it has hired Don M. McKetty as Chief Executive Officer. The Duluth News Tribune reports McKetty will begin her duties in November, replacing Sam Maida, who announced in June he would step down as head of the society that oversees Lake Superior Zoo in Duluth. The CEO oversees the nonprofit society that operates the zoo. Peter Pruitt will continue as Director of Zoo Operations. McKetty has 25 years of experience in educational nonprofit organizations and has worked and volunteered in nature centers, zoos, and museums for 13 years. She's an enrolled member of the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians in Michigan. A proposed oil shipping terminal on Lake Superior has been put on hold. Wisconsin Public Radio reports it means oil tankers won't be sailing from western Lake Superior to the east coast for now. The terminal would have shipped crude from the Bakken oil fields in North Dakota. Superior Calumet refinery manager Colin Shade says the size and cost of an oil terminal means his company needs a refinery on the east coast as a partner. He says nobody stepped forward with a long-term commitment to make it feasible. A bipartisan group of lawmakers are developing an alternative to barring the public from 3,500 acres of forest around a proposed mine site in northern Wisconsin. The Wisconsin State Journal reports the lawmakers are working on a compromise that would create a 300-foot perimeter around mine-related activities and a 50-foot buffer along an access road. Senator Dale Schultz, a Republican from Richland Center, says it could be introduced as early as this week, but Gogebic Taconite spokesman Bob Seitz has already called it unworkable. Senator Tom Tiffany, a Hazelhurst Republican, is also working on a less restrictive alternative to his original proposal, which he said was aimed at protecting miners from potentially violent protesters. He says it would allow land access during gun deer season and provide a 50-foot buffer zone along trout streams. Lake Superior water levels are now reported as being only 1 inch below average. According to the Army Corps of Engineers, Lake Superior levels fluctuate an average of 33 inches annually from evaporation alone, which is up from 22 inches annually in the 1960s. However, this year's cooler water and air temperatures coupled with longer ice cover in the spring have helped boost Lake Superior's levels to its current point. Lakes Michigan and Huron are up 7 inches but are still 17 inches below average, meaning ships still have to carry lighter loads in Lake Superior to make the voyage through the seaway. Port Authority Facilities Manager Jim Sherrow says the Duluth Port is working with the Corps of Engineers to deepen the most critical parts of the St. Mary's River. Researchers studying calf moose in northeastern Minnesota have so far found more than two-thirds of the young moose died during their first 4 months of life, leaving far fewer young moose than needed to sustain a healthy population. The Duluth News Tribune reports of 49 calves fitted with GPS transmitting collars in May, just days after they were born. 11 died from complications immediately after the capture. Most of those were caused by the cows abandoning their calves, not from stress or harm. 4 other calves slipped out of their collars. Of the remaining 34 calves being tracked in the study, 24 already have perished in less than 4 months, a 71% mortality rate that has researchers shaking their heads. On average, in studies worldwide where predators are present, about 55% of moose calves die in their first full year. According to Glenn Delgadis, head moose researcher for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, quote, "The very rough estimate in Minnesota is that we have been down to about 28% survival in recent years, but we still have 7 months to go and we're already there," That's not good, unquote. Predators have been the leading cause of death for moose calves. Bears killed 4 of the 24, most in the first few days after birth, and wolves have taken 16. One calf drowned, 2 were abandoned later by their mother, and 1 died of unknown causes. Delgadice said, quote, they are just very vulnerable the first few days and weeks. Since then, the mortality rate has been slowing, but we're still losing them, unquote. The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission has approved Minnesota Power's plan to add more wind-generated electricity, add some hydro and natural gas-generated electricity, and to continue burning coal as well. The commission on Wednesday approved the utility's 2013 energy roadmap outlining how Minnesota Power plans to provide energy for its customers at a fair cost, while also moving to reduce its impact on the environment. In the plan, which is required by the state every 2 or 3 years, Minnesota Power also confirms plans to convert its Hoyt Lakes plant to natural gas by 2015 and to retire one of the 3 coal units at Taconite Harbor on the North Shore. The company expects no loss in jobs through the transitions. When it comes to jobless rates, Duluth had its best August since before the recession. Unemployment dropped nearly a half percentage point to 5.5%, the lowest showing for August since 2007. And Duluth wasn't alone. The entire Northeast area saw declines, including a 1 percentage point drop from 8.9% to 7.9% in Hibbing. That's according to Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development data released Thursday. Unemployment for northeastern Minnesota slid from 6.5% in July to 6% in August. The Greater Twin Ports area that includes St. Louis, Carleton, and Douglas counties had the same decline. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing a revision in the critical habitat designation for a species of lynx listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. The proposal would designate more than 41,000 square miles as critical habitat within the states of Maine, Minnesota, Montana, Idaho, Washington, and Wyoming for the Canada lynx. The Center for Biological Diversity is applauding the Fish and Wildlife proposal, saying the extra space would help the rare wildcat whose population has been reduced by trapping and habitat loss. Lynx have been protected since 2000. A Grand Marais teenager appeared in 6th District Court Monday facing 4 felony and 7 gross misdemeanor charges. The charges stem from a fatal June 13 vehicle accident on the Pike Lake Road. According to the complaint, a group of 7 people under the age of 21 had first gathered to party at a Cascade River campsite, then moved to a private residence. According to witnesses, alcohol was consumed at both sites, as was marijuana. Early on the morning of June 13th, the defendant, with 1 juvenile and 1 adult passenger, took a vehicle from the residence, which then subsequently hit a ditch and rolled over near the intersection of Pike Lake Road and County Road 44. The 15-year-old passenger was thrown from the vehicle and died at the scene. 3 of the felony charges relate to various forms of criminal vehicular homicide. The 4th is a charge of vehicular theft. At Monday's hearing, a motion was filed to try the defendant as an adult. In addition, the adult passenger, Thomas Adam Stacy, age 18, is being charged with 3 counts of furnishing alcohol to an underage person. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.